chapter 20, beginning in verse 4, going through verse 10. Working our way through the book of Revelation, and we come to what's called the millennium. Well, you have the rapture of the church at any moment, 7 years of tribulation. Christ returns at the second coming, sets up his millennial kingdom, and then after that you have the new heavens and the new earth, great white throne judgment for the wicked, and then the eternal state of the believer forever and ever in the new Jerusalem. So as we look at this text tonight, let's just read verses 4 through 6, okay? Because last week we looked at 1 through 3 and we saw the binding of Satan. He will be bound for 1,000 years while the millennial reign is going on. He'll be released later and he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, let's look at verse 4. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them. By the way, that here in verse 4, it's talking about, it's related to other passages of scriptures that we will help Christ judge during the millennial kingdom. And he says, and I saw thrones and them that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So that's talking about the martyrs during the tribulation period, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads are in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. But the rest of the dead, that's the wicked, lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. In other words, after the millennium, they are resurrected to be cast into the lake of fire. And he says, but the rest of the dead lived again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, this is tricky here because this is the first resurrection refers back to verse 4. First resurrection, I'll tell you about that in just a moment. The rest of the dead that were raised later after 1,000 years were in the second resurrection. The first resurrection is the believers. Second resurrection is the unbelievers. There is not a general resurrection as some preachers teach. And he says, blessed is and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this great time that yet is awaiting this earth and awaiting all the redeemed of all the ages, the millennial kingdom. And Lord, we pray not only we're in the church age, that's great, but also in a tribulation, you have, by your grace, ordained that we escape that period of time. You have not appointed us to that time of wrath, as we saw this morning. But also, there's going to be this millennial kingdom. And even greater, there's going to be the New Jerusalem, where we will live forever and ever in Revelation 21 and 22. We thank you for all that lies ahead for the believer in Christ. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Now, I got to tell you, I want to instruct you on what's three different views of the millennial kingdom. And we need to understand this if we're going to go any further. The word in the Latin, 1,000 years, okay? So get that word millennial from it. There is what is called post-millennialism, okay? In other words, post, after. In other words, Christ will return after the church builds a utopia on this earth and makes it a lot better, then Christ will come after that. But that's not true. The world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And Jesus will return. He will return. Well, according to them, he's going to return after the millennial kingdom. And a lot of people believe we're in the millennial kingdom now. Satan's already bound. He's not bound yet. We're not there yet. So they call it post-millennialism. And then there's all-millennialism. This, anytime you see the word A before a word, it means no. Okay. So there is no millennial. There is no millennial kingdom. And Christ will return with a general judgment and eternity will begin. This is a group that teaches we're in a utopia right now. And they're not looking at the same news I'm looking at, right? We're not in a utopia. Man is not going to bring in a better day. Only Christ will do that. And then there's what we call premillennialism. That's us. We are pre-trib. Church will be raptured before the tribulation. And we're premillennial. That means that Christ will return before the thousand-year kingdom because he's going to be the one that sets it up. The second coming of Christ is before the millennial kingdom. Now, as you look at verses 4 through 6, and we're going to read the other verses later, you see that the term thousand years is repeated 6 times in these verses. And people say, well, you build a whole doctrine on 3 verses. Well, all you need is one verse, right, to build a doctrine. And the term thousand years is repeated 6 times in these verses. And remember what I told you? Like people say, every time you have a numerical digit before a day or a year, it's talking about, especially a day, 6 creation days. God created the earth in 6 days. 6 days, the morning and the evening were the first day. Every time you see a numerical before the word day, it means a 24-hour solar period. So that's how we know that he created the earth in 6 days, 6 24-hour days. And so it's the same way here. 1,000 before years lets us know it's 1,000 years. And it means what it reads and what it says. You'll read about the millennial kingdom in the book of Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, Micah, Zechariah, Matthew, Luke, Acts, and Romans. By the way, speaking of Micah, I heard the other day where Beto O'Rourke, one of the clowns that's running for the Democratic nomination, he says that, tried to quote a little Bible. Don't you just hate it when people quote the Bible who are not even believers, right? And he said that we should not be against the LGBTQ, I don't know how many numbers they got after that, community, because the Bible speaks of what our reaction as Christians should be to them. And he quoted Micah 6:8, which says, be kind one to another. Okay? He don't quote all the verses that say it's an abomination before the Lord, right? And so I just had to get my Beto O'Rourke illustration in. But it's this millennial kingdom that's coming is going to be heaven on earth. It's not going to be heaven, but it's going to be a replenished earth. It's going to be unprecedented peace and prosperity and justice under the rule of Christ. He will rule with a rod of iron from the seat of his father David. Remember the lineage of David? He promised David a kingdom and a king that's going to reign forever. And so he's going to do that right here and carry out the prophecy that was given in the Davidic promise. Now, it's interesting here. The first thing that we see here, Satan is bound during the millennium in verses 4 through 6. Now, why is he bound? 2 main reasons. Look in verse 3, if you will. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him. What? That he should not deceive the nations no more, till the thousand years were fulfilled. So Satan has to be bound so that he won't bring deception upon this world while God carries out his promise to David. Okay? If he's still roaring, lying, going about who he might, deceive, then it wouldn't be the millennial kingdom. It wouldn't be heaven on earth. So he has to be bound for that. And the second reason why he has to be bound is that because to fulfill his promise to all Israel's prophets, all the prophets in the Old Testament that foretold of this millennial reign, millennial kingdom, especially in Isaiah, you read about it. And so God keeps his promises, amen? So he's going to do this for the nation of Israel. Now, as we look at the first resurrection in our text, in verse 4, 5, and 6, what is the order of the resurrection, the order of the first resurrection? Well, we see in verses 4 and 5, the first is for all the righteous. The second, later on, after the millennial kingdom, is for the unrighteous. Now, what is the order here? As you read, especially in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see the order of these. A lot of the order here that I'm going to mention to you in chapter 15. What is the order of the resurrection for the saved? Well, it's going to be Christ. It was Christ, right? He is the first fruits. And then secondly, remember the selected Old Testament saints were raised. They came out of the grave after Christ came out of his grave. They walked around in Jerusalem. And we know that they are like Lazarus because Christ was the only one that raised from the dead to never die again. But somehow or another, these will die again like Lazarus, and they will be resurrected again later. So you have Christ, you have the selected Old Testament saints, you have the church. This is where we come in, at the rapture of the church. You have the tribulation saints, those that are killed during the tribulation, and you have the Old Testament saints. All this is included in the first resurrection before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Okay? Now, let's look at them. So you have Christ. First, he's raised, Jesus Christ, who is the first fruits of those who sleep. 1 Corinthians 15:23. He's the first one. Had he not come out of the grave, there are no others, right? Second, he's raised some of the saints near Jerusalem shortly after Jesus' resurrection. You read about that in Matthew 27:52-53. Though this was probably a temporary, one writer said this was a temporary resuscitation, kind of like Lazarus, because they died later. You can't have them going in the glorified body because we hadn't got our glorified body first, right? And you got to get the order here that God, Christ has set it up. Third, he will raise Christians at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Fourth, he will raise the two witnesses during the Great Tribulation. Remember, we studied them in Revelation 11. And then fifth, he'll raise the tribulation martyrs at the beginning of the millennium. Here they will be raised to enter into the millennial kingdom with Christ. Daniel chapter 12 speaks of that. And he's going to raise the Old Testament saints also in Daniel chapter 12 at the same time. And then you have six, he's apparently going to raise the saints who died during the millennium. And now, that's what a lot of Bible teachers believe and speak, but they're going to be raised. There are going to be people who died during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and there are going to be people born with a sin nature, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment. Not us, but other people, and then they're going to go against Christ, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron and smite them, and they go to eternal hell. But and they're going to have babies in the millennial kingdom. And I'm not telling you nothing new. This is Bible, and all good preachers will tell you the same thing. But they're going to have to come to Christ, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment. Now, that's all in the first resurrection. Notice the second resurrection, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. He says, blessed and holy, verse 6, is he that hath part of the first resurrection. Of such the second death have no power. So the first resurrection for all believers, and then you have the second resurrection for unbelievers who will experience the second death, which is not only are they died physically, but they died spiritually, and they're going to be in hell forever and forever. So the second resurrection is talking about the unjust, and that's going to be after the 1,000 years of Christ. Now, again, we're drinking from a fire hose tonight. I know that, but I want to stimulate you for your own study. Who will enter the millennial kingdom? Well, we go to heaven at the rapture of the church. We get received our glorified bodies, and we'll be doing whatever God wants us to do in the millennial reign back on earth for 1,000 years. But who's going to enter the millennial kingdom? Well, glorified saints, the saved Jews and Gentiles from the tribulation, they're going to be in the millennial kingdom. And if they were martyred, they're going to be raised to be in the millennial kingdom. There's going to be children. You can read this from Isaiah and other places that people will be having babies. They'll live to be 100 years old. But they're going to die because why? They were born of people that even though their parents entered the millennial kingdom because they were saved, that doesn't make the children saved. They're going to have to hear the gospel and repent and believe. And if they don't, it'll be too bad. But they're going to die. And they're in their earthly bodies. People that are on the earth, when Christ comes back, they enter the millennial kingdom if they're saved, but they don't have the glorified body. The church is the only ones that with a glorified body at this point. And so they're going to be having babies, and they're going to die. And Christ will suppress evil. It'd be a good time to read verses 7 through 10 right here. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Remember, he's in the abyss. And shall go out to deceive the nations. Again, I'll tell you why he's going to be released. Which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So there's going to be people who's going to follow Satan after he's released after the 1,000 years. And these are the ones that are not saved, never came to Christ, and they're going to side with Satan when this Gog and Magog battle takes place. Notice what it says in verse 9, and they went out unto the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, that's Israel, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now notice this, where the beast and the false prophet are. See, they were cast there back in Revelation 19, verse 20, right when Christ came back at the Battle of Armageddon. But here, notice what it says here in, what verse is it on? 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And that will be end of him, right here. He's going to be cast in there where they are. Go back to chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and him, the false prophet, that wrought the miracles before him, and he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning and brimstone. And they're still alive 1,000 years later when their boss, Satan, joins them in the lake of fire. Hell is not annihilation, as I shared this morning. There are people in hell that are tormenting, that are conscious and aware of the torments that they are in. And it's going to be a terrible time. Dr. Thomas Constable of Dallas Seminary says this: the nations in view will be the descendants of mortal believers who do not die during the Great Tribulation but live on in the millennium. All unbelievers will eventually perish when Christ returns to the earth. Lifespans will be much longer in the millennial kingdom. Now, he's not talking about us here. We have our glorified bodies. He's talking about people that enter the millennium in the earthly body. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. So the earth's population will increase rapidly, as was the case before the flood. He goes on to say, the children who are born during the millennium will need to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, and some of them will not do so. This group will probably constitute the unbelievers whom Satan leads into rebellion at the end of the millennium, in verses 8 and 9 here in chapter 20. God will release Satan out of divine necessity to fulfill his plans after the 1,000 years. Now, so this is who enters the millennium. And at the same time, Israel, during this 1,000 years, will not only have this reign of the descendant of David that was promised, but they're also going to occupy the whole land that was promised them. Back in Genesis chapter 15, 18 to 21. Remember, they didn't go into the land because they were disobedient. Right, Brother John? They did not inhabit all that God told them to inhabit. But God, this is an unconditional promise to Israel. They will one day occupy all the land that God promised them during the millennial kingdom. And then the apostles and the church and the 12 tribes will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So Satan is bound during the millennium. Secondly, Satan is released in verses 7 through 9. We read that a while ago. Why does God throw Satan into the abyss for 1,000 years, but then release him later after the millennial kingdom is over? Well, let me share with you about four reasons. Number one, to show his grace and his redemption. To show his grace and his redemption. Number two, to show the wickedness of Satan. Being confined 1,000 years and chains did not change him, right? To show the wickedness of Satan. Therefore, his punishment must be eternal. I have a big problem with people saying, well, I can't believe in a God that will send people to hell. Well, I can believe in a God who gave us a heaven that we didn't have to go there, right? And a son that died for us on the cross of Christ. So, man, to show the sinfulness of sin and the sinner. You see, we have this philosophy today, well, we just need to improve mankind by giving him more money, building him bigger and better, remodel their homes, give them this program, that program. Folks, that's not going to change the heart of man, right? That's just going to break us, right? So, to show the sinfulness of sin in the sinner, man lived in a perfect environment for 1,000 years, perfect government with Christ head of the government, ruled for 1,000 years, and yet when Satan's released, they're going to follow him again. And they're going to be cast into eternal hell at that final revolt. And then they gather the nations to Jerusalem to be destroyed by fire. Remember Gog and Magog, the great earthquake in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Armageddon, you have the plague, the revolt. They're just going to melt right where they're standing. And, you know, and people may say, well, that's awful. That's terrible. But it shows you how much God hates sin, doesn't he? Are y'all with me tonight? Hell is a terrible place for people who reject grace. Amen? And then thirdly, Satan is damned. Now notice in verse 10, chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. We'll read about that when we get to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. Hell is forever. He's doomed. Note the damning process here in verse 10. Number one, the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire at the beginning of the millennium. When Christ returns at the second coming, before he sets up his millennial reign, the false prophet, second beast, and the Antichrist, the first beast, are going to be cast into the lake of fire. That Satan will join them 1,000 years later. Join them in this lake of fire and brimstone. I've heard people say, well, the rich man and Lazarus, you know, and all that's just a parable. No, it's an historical account because he names Moses in that, right? He says they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. If they will not believe that in Moses and the prophets, the word of God, neither will they believe if one is rises from the grave, right? So that shows the heart of man deceitfully wicked. And they've been there for 1,000 years in conscious suffering, and yet they're the first occupants of the lake of fire. Why else? Well, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium, verse 10. Unbelieving sinners will be cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. See? This is the order we're going to look at. The false prophet, the first and second, false prophet and false antichrist, going to be cast in, then Satan, and then remember coming up for us next week is the great white throne judgment where the unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. And they're going to be in there forever and ever with Satan himself and the one world leader and the one world leader of the church, the harlot church that's left behind. And they're going to be all in hell forever. And they are not going to be having a party, right? They're not going to be having a party when that time comes about. And folks, I'm telling you, I am just so thankful that we are those of the redeemed. As we talked about this morning, God has not appointed us to a time of wrath, but he's given us salvation, he's given us life, and we worship and serve him and witness for him because of what he has done for us. We appreciate his grace. And those who don't appreciate his grace and never were recipients of his grace, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Don't let any false teacher ever tell you that if you speak on hell, you're going to run your congregation off. I noticed nobody got up tonight, right? Because y'all are used to it, right? Don't ever let anybody tell you that God's not loving because people go to hell. Folks, we need to understand tonight how serious sin is and rebellion to God. Amen? And this is what this text is telling us tonight. I want to give you a few moments at the end of this service. We don't have an invitation per se, but I'm going to come down front, and we're going to give you an opportunity to publicly come to Christ. You know, I always liked what Billy Graham said. He said that every time Jesus preached the gospel, he gave a public invitation. And we have churches today that say, well, we don't believe that. You know, you just come talk to somebody after church is over. No, everywhere he publicly proclaimed the gospel, there was a public invitation to come to Christ, right? And because why? Remember what the Word of God says? If you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you proclaim me or confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Let's all stand, if you will.